From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
And I'm Chad Beater.
And welcome to Defrag Tool. So we're going to talk today about SigCheck?
Yeah, SigCheck, one of the sysinternals tools.
All right, but first we want to talk about the latest thing in the news, Heartbleed.
Heartbleed, yeah, the Heartbleed vulnerability.
Is it a virus, a bug? What would you call it?
I guess you'd call it a security vulnerability.
That's one way of putting it.
And it's, you know, I think, you know, because it's in the news, it just came out, we should talk a little bit about it. It's not in Microsoft code. So, so Heartbleed is a vulnerability in an open source library, which is used for SSL, Secure Sockets Layer. So anytime you go to like a website and it's a, you know, you have the little lock icon, it's an encrypted website. There's some code that's being used to encrypt that. Yeah. And one of the common ones people use is OpenSSL. And there was a recently discovered this vulnerability where essentially what happens is a recipient can just ask for sort of a heartbeat ping, like, are you still alive?
Yeah.
From the website. But what it actually does is it goes, give me 64K of the following data and repeat it back to me. But then you only send them like 1K of data, but then what happens is the server doesn't check and it just sends you back 64K of data. So it sends you back the 1K that you sent plus 64K of random stuff that it just happens to have sitting around in memory.
Well, that's not good.
Which is not good because the things that are in memory are very often passwords, you know, your bank account, whatever. It could be anything.
So I guess the solution, or at least one of the things that they're saying, is that you should go through and change all the passwords on the sites that you use, which should be very simple for the last 20 years of sites that I've logged on to.
Right.
To figure out.
Because you remember all those passwords.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I
remember all the thousands of websites that I've been on.
Right.
And of course, I'd use a different password for every single one of them.
So yeah, it's a problem, right? And I know some people out there use various solutions for that. There's some like LastPass about, you know. So people use that to manage it.
Or 1Password, there's another people tend to use.
So the thing that people should be aware of is probably any site that's affected by this, if it's a reputable site, I would hope, would be telling their users to change their passwords or hopefully forcing them to change their passwords.
Yeah, I saw LastPass had a blog post last night that listed some of the sites that were affected and their thoughts on, you know, how you should mitigate the issue with them, whether you should just not use the site or whatever.
Yeah.
There are some big names on there.
Yeah, definitely. OpenSSL is a pretty commonly used library. And it's not, I don't think it's commonly used on Windows. So there could be people out there who are writing, you know, Windows services that run on Windows that use this. But certainly none of the Microsoft software like IIS or any of our in-house developed stuff, we don't use OpenSSL. We have our own secure channel DLL to do that same thing, and it is not vulnerable to this.
Yeah. And there's nothing you need to worry about with it getting to your machine. It's just something that runs on web servers that...
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, we do ship IIS. I know certain versions of Windows have it installed. If you have, you know, Windows Server, of course, can have IIS installed. But again, it doesn't tend to use the OpenSSL, so it shouldn't be a problem unless you've explicitly installed some web service on your machine that that's a third-party developed thing, and then you may want to check with the developer of that to make sure that they're not that you're not impacted. So you know, it's in the news. It's out there. People should be aware that the biggest problem with it is that the vulnerability has been in the code for about 2 years now, and we don't know if hackers have known about it and been exploiting it.
What are the chances?
Right. <Yeah. laughs> So it's possible that there's been a lot of passwords and who knows what else stolen over the last 2 years from these vulnerable sites.
Yeah.
So people should be aware. Check with your various web services. If you have passwords up there, maybe change them. Maybe wait a couple days and change them, because if you change them now before they've patched their site, it could be that it's still vulnerable and your new password could get stolen.
Yeah.
So But probably by the time we air this show, it will have been long enough that I would hope most reputable sites will have patched their servers, and you should be good to change your passwords.
It only takes one, though, because it's not like I'm using a different password on every site. You catch me on one site, you pretty much have, I shouldn't even say that. That's not true.
That's not true at all.
I'm using very random
you
passwords
use very secure
everywhere
passwords.
On the internet. So.
You don't keep them in like a big text file or anything
not
like that.
Not an Excel spreadsheet. This is just sitting somewhere.
It's like sitting on a hard drive.
Yeah.
Best security practice. I mean, everybody watching this probably knows the good security practices, and probably only
well,
they know them. That's where I was going with that. Everybody knows the right thing to do, but probably only about 10% of us actually do them.
I'm busy. I got a lot going on.
I can't think of that many passwords. Honestly, it's hard. So.
So we're talking SigCheck today.
Yeah,
let's talk about SigCheck.
So SigCheck, I thought was a good tie-in for this actually because it is kind of related to malware and things like that. Not specifically OpenSSL, but since we're on the topic of security, SigCheck is a good thing to use for if you have a file or a system that you suspect might be vulnerable to malware. Obviously, there's a lot of malware scanners and things out there, and we ship them in Windows. But SigCheck is another tool that you can use. So it's a SysInternals tool, Mark Rusinovich wrote, and it is under active development. In fact, I just got some mail today. He's working on some new features for it. So stay tuned. But SigCheck released a pretty big update to the 2.0 version a few months ago, and now I think they're up to 2.03. Mm-hmm. It's up here on the SysInternals site. What it does is pretty simple. It checks executable files for code signatures. That's the main purpose of it. So code signatures, most Windows software should be digitally signed by the developer of it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be. Most of it is.
Yeah, sometimes you go to install something, you see that it pops up a message.
Unsigned. Well, especially for drivers, you'll get that. I don't know if we necessarily will pop up a message if just you download some random program and you run it and it's unsigned.
Yeah.
But most software will be signed. All modern, Metro apps will mm-hmm. be signed. Mm-hmm. So if you go and run this and you find a lot of unsigned stuff, it can be a red flag. Doesn't necessarily mean it's malware.
Sure.
But it's something to look at. and the other thing that he's added in the 2.0 version, and we'll show this, is that it does scan files against a site called VirusTotal. So it does actually scan them against sort of known malware databases. Yeah. And VirusTotal will scan them against something like 40 different antivirus engines. So let's kind of take a quick look at it here. So there's, you can see the command line switches here. I have SigCheck in my path. We've talked on the show before. It's kind of handy to have your SysInternals tools and stuff just in your executable path so you can run them from anywhere. So if I run it with no arguments, I get the help file. Probably the easiest way to do it is, I'm in the system32 directory here. I can do SigCheck. I would say dash E is a good one to use. Scans executable images only. We aren't really that concerned about whether, a text file is digitally signed. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. What we do care about is executable code. And the dash E switch does not care whether it's, what the file extension is, whether it's a DLL or OCX or EXE or it could be anything. We look for the PE header in the file, which tells Windows that it's executable. We don't care about the file extension. So dash E will look for anything that's executable code. Dash S if you want to recurse subdirectories. Let's just do this directory for now. So you can see it's going to run here. It's going to do, most of these are going to be signed. It's going to be a long list because I'm doing it against my system32. Yeah. You can shorten this up a little bit by just saying dash E dash U to show only unsigned files. It's maybe going to take a minute because it's got to go through a lot of my files. I should have done this before so I'd have them in cache. It would be faster. And I can tell you, though, it's not going to find any on this system. It's a pretty clean install. I don't believe I have any unsigned files in my System32 directory, which is probably good. Again, it's not the end of the world if I have something there. It doesn't mean it's malware, but it's something to look at. The other thing that you can do, let's actually run this against a different directory. So let's go let's look at my downloads directory, because stuff I've downloaded off various things like that. Okay, so here's one, and look, it's unsigned. So this is actually an install file for a driver I downloaded. And I don't know if the driver itself is unsigned. I'd have to install it and go look.
Yeah.
But the install package for it is unsigned. It's interesting, it says 1992 for the link date, because I know that this hardware is not that old, but they just maybe had a weird file date when they built the file. So that, you know, there's one that's unsigned. Now, the other thing that I can do is use this dash V switch, which you can see above here, query virus total for malware based on the file hash. So let's add that switch and see what happens. Dash V. Now the first time you do the dash V switch, you have to accept the terms of service for the virustotal.com. It'll prompt you. And I think I've already done it, so it's probably not going to. And that adds this little link down here. And it looks like actually it did. So if you see here, VT detection, one out of 50 antivirus sites thinks that this is malware. Let's go ahead and add the V, I believe it was S switch. Scroll back up there. Oh, can I scroll back up?
VT, I think it was VT.
VT, I think it was V.
Place your bets.
Yeah, I think it was V. VT is to accept the terms of service. So VS will actually do or actually VR to open reports. Neither of us were right. So dash VR, run that against my downloads folder. Now it's going to pop up because that one said that one, it was one out of 50. It pops up this browser window with the link. So here's the file name. And this CMC antivirus seems to think that it's adware. I know it's not. I downloaded it directly from the manufacturer. I think that's a false positive. And you can see here there's like 50 other sites that think it's okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not a perfect science. You have to decide who you're going to trust here.
Yeah.
I trust this file anyway, but, you know, you download stuff and you actually see up here probably harmless. There are strong indicators indicating this file is safe to use. So they even kind of help you out, even though one of their sites thinks it isn't.
Nice.
So it's, you know, not too complicated. There are a few other switches you can use if you want to, like, put this into an Excel spreadsheet. You can add the dash C switch. Let's take the VR and do the dash C, and then you'll get this in sort of a comma delimited file. You can output that to a text file, load it into Excel if you want to see a big spreadsheet of all the files in a directory and broken out by column. You can have it do, you can take a look. I mean, there's other options here if you want to see additional data. File hashes, which will show you the, down here. Oh, let's take off the dash C so I see that in plain text format. So down here, you see like the MD5 hash and all the various hashes. So if you want to sort of compare those against a known good, copy the file.
Yeah.
The hash should be the same. Things like that. So it's a cool tool. it's good to have in your toolbox. Scan it on a system. If you have a system that you're a little sketchy about, it can be a really good way of finding files. I didn't run this because it's going to take a little while, but probably one good way to go on a system that you're just kind of questionable about is to do the dash E dash S for recurse subdirectories. Run that against your Windows System 32, which is actually what I'm in now. But and probably just the one to show the unsigned. Let that run, see what pops up. Maybe use the VS switch to get those. So if you have a system, you're kind of not sure if there's some malware or something on there, it can be a really good way to kind of
rip those. Good place to start.
Good place to start. And then if you have specific things like, you know, the download folder or whatever, that, you know, stuff maybe you've downloaded you're not sure about,
cool.
You can run it very targeted and specific against those. The VirusTotal, you can also even go there and just upload files directly. But SigCheck will do it for you. So
nice.
Nick Manley.
All right. And then when there's an update, we'll talk about it again.
Yeah. I think it'll be probably more of a minor update in the near future to add a few more output things. I don't know exactly what they're going to do. But the big thing that they added recently was that link to the VirusTotal thing.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. That's the show for this week. If you have questions, write us at defragtools@microsoft.com. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.